few Octobers ago, our neighborhood was teeming with ghosts and goblins and princesses and Power Rangers. There were trick-or-treaters everywhere. We saw every costume Walmart had on its shelves. There was even an Elvis sighting. And then there were the wolves. Now, they weren't real wolves. They were two teenage boys dressed up like wolves. When Andrea and I saw them, we knew they weren't real wolves. Their costumes looked real, give them that, but we knew better. They were walking on two legs, not four, and they were carrying bags of candy up to the doors of houses and saying trick-or-treat. If these were real wolves, these were the two-leg-walking, candy-carrying, English-speaking wolves, very rare in these parts. But we saw this little girl out trick-or-treating with her parents, and she didn't know that. When she saw them, she shrieked. Andrea and I tried to reason with her, because surely she'll listen to our fountains of wisdom. We said, oh, that's okay. They're just boys, sweetie. They're not really wolves. But she would none of our wisdom. So the boys gave it a shot. They took off their masks, and they showed her that they were just pimple-popping, soprano-speaking, candy-eating teenage boys. But she would none of that. To her, they were grandma-eating, straw-house-destroying, big, bad wolves. And she ran. She begged her parents to take her inside. For her, the night was over. She was scared witless, and she would rather go home without candy than be out with those big, bad wolves. Good fall day to you, Simplify listeners. You're listening to LJ Harry, and you're listening to Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Sheep on Simplify. That night reminded me of a story in Scripture. The early Christians were pawns in the hands of a diabolical dictator who moved them and toppled them on the board where and whenever he and the people he was trying to please pleased. When King Herod killed Pastor James, the crowd went crazy. They cheered him on. They even bought little foam fingers with Herod's name on it and waved them in front of the palace. Herod was so overcome with pride in this fleeting rush of popularity that he thought, well, if they liked that, they'll love this. So he reached his grisly, greedy hands out and nabbed Simon Peter, the most prominent leader of the early church. If James was Robin, Simon Peter was Batman. And Herod was right. The Jews went crazy. This was the best entertainment since the sword-swallowing chariot race biathlon a few months earlier. If anybody needed to be afraid of anybody, the church needed to be scared witless of the world. Herod arrested Peter right before a holiday, Passover. So Herod closed down the government offices and took the holiday weekend off. Went home for some watermelon and brats, but as soon as the holiday was over, it was back to business. But he has to lock up the preacher somewhere in the meantime. If I was Herod's advisor, I would tell him to throw him in a room, lock the door, and keep a mall cop on guard just for appearances. He's a preacher, not a soldier. We remember what happened in the garden, right? Peter's no good with a sword. But that's not what happened. Herod rounded up four squads of soldiers, easily four soldiers each. 16 heavily armed, highly trained Roman soldiers assigned to guard one unarmed, theologically trained preacher. And again, the last time Peter swung a sword, he missed. It was really sad. This preacher was chained between two soldiers, chained to his captors, to the prison, or to both. And then there were armed guards in front of the door keeping Peter in and his rescuers out. And of course, there were the guard posts, two of them. Herod thought, if I put enough guards around him and give them enough weapons to scare him and put enough chains on him and plunge him so deep in the prison he doesn't know his way out, and if I post enough guard posts between him and the gate and close that iron gate, there is no way this preacher is getting out of here alive. And Herod was right. Simon Peter was secure in one of Jerusalem's most secure prisons. And he was asleep the night before he was to be tried and killed. If I knew I only had 8 hours left on this blue and green globe, I don't think I'd be asleep. I'd be thinking of a way to leave the prison or making sure I was ready to leave this world. There's no way Peter was getting out of there alive. If it was just up to Simon Peter, he's dead by daybreak. But Herod and his formidable, indomitable Roman army could not stop the prayers of God's powerful church. They had gathered in a humble home, still lit by a humble candle, and they prayed. And when they prayed, they shook heaven. God heard their prayers, and God sent one angel to rescue one preacher. Do you see the difference? A small group of Christians huddled in one house to pray. Simon Peter guarded by Rome's smartest and strongest. But 1,000 Roman swords and 1,000 Roman chains could not keep one angel out of the prison to get Simon Peter out of the prison just because God's church was praying. 1,000 swords from hell cannot keep one angel from going where we need him to go when we pray. Hear me today, pray. When we pray, God hears. If you can't do something for somebody you want to do for them, but you can pray for them, pray. I've heard people say before, I'm sorry, there's really nothing I can do. I can't give you any money, can't help you out in any way. All I can do is pray for you. That's the greatest thing you could ever do for any person. If anybody ever tells you, they didn't do anything for me, all they did was pray for me, they gave you the greatest favor by giving their time and their burden to God to ask Him to fight on your behalf. When we pray, God hears. And you may not see it, and you may not feel it, but God is working right now, even during a pandemic, even during a tense, and that's an understatement, presidential election, even during race riots, even during protests, God is working. As Christians, as disciples of Jesus, our battle is not with flesh and blood. We don't fight this with our fists. We don't even fight it on social media with our words. We fight this battle on our knees. When they prayed, God moved, and God sent an angel to set Simon Peter free. The next time you feel overpowered and outmatched by this world, leave the sword in its sheath. Don't air it all on social media. Find a place where it's just you and God and fall to your knees and pray. If you have children or brothers and sisters who are addicted to drugs or drinking, pray. If they will none of your fount of wisdom, trying to teach them, reason with them, persuade them of why drugs and drinking are hurting them and hurting their family, that's okay. Pray. Our God delivers. If your husband or your wife will not serve God beside you, pray. Our God saves. If you've been diagnosed with a disease for which there is very little hope and no cure, pray. Our God heals. The church is no match for the world in a sword fight. That's all right. The world will never be a match for the church in a prayer meeting. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Not the church. But the devil is scared, senseless, palms sweating, knees knocking, afraid of the big bad sheep. No better thing to do right now than to pray. Maybe you've got something in your life where you feel overwhelmed and outmatched. Well, let's take some time right now, wherever you are, just to stop and pray and ask God to fight the battle for you. You can't fight on your own. God, I thank you for your power. I thank you that you have given us the power through your Spirit. And I thank you, you've given us this access into your power through prayer. I ask you to minister to those who are listening, to those who are hurting, to those who are lost. I pray, God, you would do for them what only you can do for them. As they pray, I pray you would hear and answer. Move heaven and earth if you have to work on their behalf. I ask you to work miracles, work wonders, heal, save, deliver, set free, provide whatever you need to do for them, whatever they need you to do. I pray, Lord Jesus, you would work a miracle in their life, that they would give you glory for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Simplify. I hope it's been an encouragement to you and given you some direction on what to do when you don't know what to do. Pray. God hears. Thanks for all those who have tuned in to Simplify. We are quickly approaching 40,000 downloads, so thank you for all you faithful, loyal listeners. And another month is in the book, which means another little download battle is in the book. And the state of Texas has prevailed over the state of Louisiana by 174 downloads. So kudos to all of you Texans. Maybe you'll get them next time, Louisiana. Next week, I want to share with you a story about our little girl, Rayleigh, and a miracle God worked for her from the very day she was born. That's called It's Friday, but Wednesday's coming, and that's coming up next week. I'm looking forward to sharing that with you, and always look forward to walking closer with Jesus as we walk through Simplify.